All right, welcome to the weekend. I am Pia Muhlenbeck. I'm here with Kane.
Good evening.
And this is Wine Time, the show where we crack open a bottle of bubbly and suggest you do the same.
Not if you're driving. If you are driving, please wait until you get home. Drink responsibly.
And join us as we chat through the week that was.
So I want to normally talk about at this point what we're drinking.
Yeah.
But today's podcast is most definitely sponsored by Lemsip, Panadol, Nurofen, Codral, Cold and Flu, Ivy League, Drips, and definitely one chunk of garlic.
Yeah, the intro is a lie. It's a complete blatant lie. We are not drinking wine or any alcohol today. We are
in... Well, Pia's fine.
I'm fine, but I'm not going to drink by myself. And Kane is sick.
I don't know what happened. We've just finished a job. We just got home about 2 hours ago. And in the last 1 hour, I've gone from being at 100% to sounding like this. My nose is running. I'm sneezing. My eyes are blurry.
Yeah.
It's man flu.
He's got full-fledged man flu.
But within an hour. How does that happen?
It could be hay fever.
Yeah,
it could be hay fever. Apparently this season, because of all the fires and the smoke and dust and everything, maybe hay fever hit you. Because you've really taken a downturn.
Look, I get it. If the fires were not kind of last week's thing, I would agree with you. But this happened in the last 45 minutes.
Yeah, it is random.
I got home. I said to you, I was like, I feel a bit funny.
Mm.
It just came across me. And I reckon I've sneezed 100 times in the last hour.
So I've been playing Nurse Pia and loading him up with snacks and ginger and lemon tea and all sorts of things to make him feel better.
It is quite surprising how well Pia can mother me. I'm like, mother boy.
You do turn into a complete man-child.
If I get sick, I cannot move. I am laying on the bed. I'm like, Pia.
And he took all his clothes off. He's just lying there in undies, like, just feeling sad for himself.
I was on top of the doona, which is in Australia we call a doona like a...
A blanket?
A blanket. I'm laying on top of the blanket, just in my undies.
Socks staring, and undies.
Staring at the ceiling with my socks on, just calling Pia's name in my weakest, like, I'm sick voice.
I hope you're getting this visual.
It's, yeah.
Full man, baby.
And I've used up one whole roll of toilet paper in the last hour with sneezing, so.
Yeah, so it's delightful. And I'm still making him do the podcast.
Yeah, please. Well, yeah, obviously. Last week, Pia got in so much trouble for missing the podcast. Now, rain or shine, she is here doing the podcast, which I kind of respect.
So I'm sorry if he's a bit blubbery or nasally sounding, but we're here and we're committed.
So make sure you give this podcast 5 stars if you do.
Just for effort.
Normally, I have a kind of a spiel, a shtick that I say if you rate this podcast 5 stars. But today, if you rate it 5 stars, I just promise I won't sneeze on you.
And what? Anyone that rates you less than 5 stars, you
gets
just purposely
sneeze
on them. That is the worst thing I've ever heard.
Oh, I'm definitely a little bit delirious.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting.
So I actually had my friend runs this company. This isn't sponsored, by the way. This is just a thing. My friend runs this company and they're a mobile IV drip thing, right? They come to your house with a big bag of, I don't know, vitamin water.
Yeah.
And they intravenously put it in your arm.
It's like a bag of saline water, right?
Well, it's way more than that. It's full of magnesium and vitamin B and D and all this sort of stuff. I feel 100% better already.
Do you?
Well, 50% better.
50% better.
But like definitely better. I wasn't going to do this podcast and half an hour ago, I was not going to do this and now I'm fine.
Now you've got a bit of get up and go.
It's good.
I did it too actually and I feel great, but
Pia,
I felt fine
jumped
beforehand.
Jumped on the bandwagon, yeah.
I was like, why are you here? Load me up with some immunity boosters.
So it is Friday, which is, I believe, Black Friday.
Yeah. And that's literally, I was like researching topics to talk about today and everything I'm seeing is either about Black Friday or Thanksgiving.
Well, this is quite weird for us because this is the first year in 5 years that we've not done anything with Slinky on Black Friday.
I know.
And it feels great. I have to say, not having to work on Black Friday is like a dream.
Well, don't lap it up too much because we're going to relaunch soon.
Yeah, I know. No, but like this time,
I'm putting you back to work, baby.
This time last year, we were dealing with all sorts of our website overloaded, our warehouse sold stuff that we actually had already pre-sold out of. Well, it was a real nightmare.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They oversold some things, didn't they?
Yeah, I think the orders, this is like a real, first world problem to have. But our website didn't update with the warehouse enough. So we actually oversold stuff.
Customer service nightmare if that happens.
To have to write back to customers and say, I'm so sorry, we know we've got your money, but we haven't got anything to send you.
Yeah.
Hundreds of times.
We'll just keep the money and keep you posted on some future launches.
That sounds like what Asina O'Neill did.
Yeah. I'm kidding, guys. I didn't do that.
No, we didn't. So today in the papers, a lot of brands are being called out for doing Black Friday sales.
Why?
Because they're not actually doing Black Friday sales. This girl went online and she actually screenshotted a load of the major brands' prices yesterday.
Yeah.
And then went onto the same products today. And they are overinflated now with a big red line through the price saying sale now this. And it's actually the same price you could have bought it for yesterday.
No way.
Yeah.
So wait, they're putting up fake RRPs and putting a big line through it.
Yes.
And then just keeping the normal price and then you pretend like that's the sale price.
Yeah.
No. Are you sure that these brands just didn't jump on the Black Friday sale a few days ago? Because I'm noticing earlier. Oh, 100%.
I can show you the screenshots. I don't want to name the brands because that's their problem. It's not.
We're not here to call out.
We're not here to call people out. But I've seen the screenshots and they are big, international, reputable brands and they were just lying to their customers today.
That is crazy. Mm. That's why the best way to do it is with a discount code that you physically put in.
Yes, for sure. 100%. Otherwise, you won't know.
Yeah. Bit of random retail news there.
No, I think it's really interesting. We have our own e-store, so yeah. I kind of like to keep track on what other brands are doing and how they keep the customers coming back.
Yeah, and we typically, if we do a sale or something like that, which we do very rarely at Slinky, but we have done Black Friday sales in the past, we will typically do a discount code.
Yes.
And then that gets sent out to the select few people that are on your email database and people that are actually genuinely fans of the label. They get the sale and it's not just a broad like blanket discount.
So the biggest news of the week.
Of the year.
Of the decade.
Cybertruck.
Yes. I knew
you were going there.
Pia hasn't even looked at my notes yet and she knows where I'm going with this.
I know. That's all. It was because all you've been talking about for the entire week, every time I look at you or like look at what you're browsing at on your phone or your computer or whatever, it's like some Cybertruck related thing.
So last week, this time last week actually, we were supposed to be driving to our friend Steph and Josh's wedding, which was a 9-hour drive away.
Yes.
8 or 9 hours away. We were meant to leave at 2 o'clock so we could get there at a reasonable time, get a nice early night and then be fresh for the wedding in the morning. Then I found out Cybertruck was coming out. Well, I knew it was coming out, but I found out the announcement was on at 3 p.m.
Yeah, the keynote.
The keynote address where Elon Musk was going to talk to the world, reveal the car, and then allow you to order it there and then.
So Kane delayed our road trip and was like, no, we're leaving after this.
We actually delayed it by like 3 hours.
I know. And we just sat here watching the entire keynote. Now, I'm sure most of you guys have heard about this already because there was a bit of a fail during this keynote. First of all, the truck, the way it looks is very polarizing.
It's amazing.
You either love it or you hate it.
I love it.
Kane likes it. I wonder what Kane thinks.
I definitely want one. I bought one on Friday.
Kane's already put a deposit down on it.
Me and Pia had a nice argument on the drive down after I bought it.
I have to admit, I don't think it's the prettiest looking car I've ever seen.
Pia has no taste.
But it's growing on me. There's something cool about it.
Okay, so before we get into the debacle that was the keynote.
Yeah.
When you look at the car, right, I've got to think back to when I was a kid and I think I am target market for someone like Elon Musk.
Absolutely.
Look at the price of the car. It's definitely not for like early 20s. It's too expensive. So it's definitely for 30 plus, right?
Mm.
Now, the people that are 30 plus grew up on Star Wars and Back to the Future.
Exactly.
Right?
They're playing on nostalgia.
The only reason, I don't think the Model X is the prettiest car in the world. And given that what it cost, I could have bought a Porsche, legitimately could have bought a nice, fast sports car. But I bought the Model X for one reason and one reason only. It has doors like the Back to the Future car.
I knew you were going to say that.
That is it. And currently I'm researching how I can get it wrapped to look like gunmetal silver like the Back to the Future car.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That is it. That's the nostalgia. Now, when you look at Cybertruck, it looks like, in fact, the window pane on the side is the same shape as that on the X-Wing fighter.
Yeah.
Like angle for angle. It's identical.
Honestly, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that looks like something out of Star Wars.
Yes.
Like it's just, he's playing on nostalgia for those people who are in their 30s that grew up on Star Wars. And what was it? Mad Max?
Yeah, that kind of that apocalyptic future that we always watch in movies never actually comes to light in kind of current tech.
No.
We always keep it quite safe. And I think Elon Musk has just gone, you know what? Forget it. If we're still going to be designing the same looking cars in 10 years' time, what are we doing?
Yeah.
We all watch Star Trek, Star Wars, whatever it is in the future, and everything looks so different.
Mm.
But when it comes to retail, oh no, keep it all the same.
Yeah. But do you know why it's actually growing on me? Because I researched it a little bit more, and I'm actually genuinely quite impressed with his approach to the design of this, because obviously it looks very angular and square, and like there's no paint really.
No, there's no paint.
And the panels, they don't have any curves or anything like that. And what I learned is that actually saves a lot of money in the production of a car.
Well, I think also because it's made of rolled steel, you can't bend that metal that much anyway. So it was kind of a form over function. The design was governed by the restrictions of the metal.
So essentially, by reducing the amount of kind of curves and paint and basically like luxuries or whatnot that go into this car, he's been able to make something that performs incredibly well at a really pretty cheap price.
Well, in US, the base model is $39,000.
Yeah.
Which is like $4,000 more than the Model 3. And this thing's huge. Like, this is a big tank of a car and it flies.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be the same speed as actually, they raced it against the Porsche 911 and it beat the Porsche. Like, that's a Jeep.
Yeah, I know.
It shouldn't do that.
It's nuts. But there were a couple of gimmicks in the keynote. The first one was, they were showing us how strong the glass is. And I think he even called it like transparent steel.
Yeah, transparent metal.
Transparent metal.
Which,
so is it not is it not glass?
Well, I think after the demo, I can pretty confidently say it's just regular glass.
So basically what happened was they wanted to demonstrate the strength of this transparent metal window.
Glass.
And so they threw these like heavy metal balls at it.
They were like billiard balls, but made out of steel.
Yeah, they were like shot put balls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so they like shot put it at the window and it broke.
Surprise, surprise. But you know what? Here's the thing. So they did the original demo with the ball dropping from the ceiling or from the sky down on the glass. No problem whatsoever. It smashed into that glass and bounced off it. No problem.
Yeah.
Then he's like, hey, let's do this again, but with the real car. And the guy gently, it was almost like an underarm throw for a kid. Like it was not a hard lob. And he gently threw it at the car and it smashed. And they did it twice.
Yeah.
And it smashed. Now, Elon Musk is known for never advertising Tesla. They don't use influencers. They don't use marketing. Trust me, I've tried.
We tried.
I've tried to get my Tesla for free. They were not doing that at all. And they won't even give you a discount, right? They don't care who you are, what you do, what your coverage is. They will charge you full price. And that's fair enough, which I think is
a testament to demand is a problem for them at the moment.
No, but here's the thing. What that means is he's very good at marketing in other ways.
Mm.
And so I think this whole, oh no, the glass smashed thing, that's guerrilla marketing. I think that was set up, maybe not by Elon. That's the thing. Elon's reaction was quite genuine. He swore and he was also a little bit deflated for the rest of the keynote.
But
I think his marketing guys behind the scenes were like, let's just put regular glass in this because if we release a new car nuts will go, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
If we release a new car and something goes wrong, the entire planet are going to talk about this because everybody kind of, especially in media, loves to hate Elon Musk.
Yeah, and everyone sent me articles about this.
Oh,
as
everyone.
Soon as it happened, it was like viral. Well, so crazy viral.
By the time we got to the wedding on Saturday, we were there with Blair, one of the CEOs from, one of the founders from Bondi Sands.
Yeah.
Real car nut, has a Lambo, loves his cars, right? And he said so many people had messaged him videos of that moment where the glass broke.
Yeah.
He may not have seen that car because he's a Lambo guy. He's used to spending a lot of money on a car.
Yeah.
He probably isn't that interested in a $39,000 Jeep.
Yeah.
but he knows about it now.
Exactly.
And everyone does.
So that's really interesting because their stock dropped like 7% or something like
yeah,
that
which is,
on the day of.
That's a lot of money.
Because of this mishap on stage.
But it bounced back next week.
It bounced back, and also the virality of this keynote like would never have been matched if everything had just run smoothly.
No, and also they ended up generating $8 billion worth of car sales in 48 hours.
Yeah, 250,000 people have pre-ordered.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's very polarizing. You either love it or you hate it.
Yeah.
And if you hate it, what I found is everyone that thinks it's disgusting and horrible and looks like a five-year-old's drawn it, blah, 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 they're posting about it.
Yeah.
Right? If they just released a car that looked like every other car, no one's going to tweet about it or post it on Facebook or anything like that.
I'm just excited that there is someone's actually like pushing the boundaries of how a car looks, because I honestly can't tell the difference between most cars.
Oh, well, you'll see the Cybertruck coming down the street. Let me tell you.
That's what I mean. Like I look at like all these kind of hatchbacks or whatever, and I can't tell which one is which unless I actually look at the badge.
Correct,
and so
yeah.
I feel like all cars have kind of started to look the same with the exception of like, you know, crazy supercars or whatnot.
But cars have to look the same because we're constantly striving for this level of efficiency in aerodynamics.
Mm.
And there really is only a few shapes that work well.
So do you think the Cybertruck shape works well?
Well, apparently so.
I thought this was all a marketing stunt or kind of a publicity stunt, but then I saw that there were heaps of like, they released all the trials of them smashing balls into the windows before the show. Yeah, they'd been doing it all day.
Oh, so it did work.
It worked the whole day, and then just the one time on stage, it didn't work. So I'm no longer sure whether I think it's a publicity stunt or whether it just was a mistake.
So when you
that
look
happened
at,
to turn out really
if
well,
if you look
for
at that Gorilla Glass that they put on the iPhone, and I think the Samsung has it,
yeah.
It's real strong glass, and it can take a beating, but only like four or five times. If you drop your phone three times, it's fine. On that fourth drop, it's gone, it's shattered.
Does it gradually diminish the integrity?
No, I think I think it can absorb a number of hits,
right?
And then at some point it just says no more, and it just drops it. And that's why your phone doesn't slowly crack over on each drop. It's like it goes, and then it's broken.
Yeah, interesting.
The next day, Audi started running sponsored ads about their future car, which looks very similar to the Cybertruck, by the way.
Yeah.
And then the next day after that, Lamborghini unveiled their Lambo, which looks also kind of like a Lamborghini-style Cybertruck. And I think it's just all these car companies have crazy designs in their back pockets.
Yeah.
They're waiting to see what the competition does. They're waiting to see what the market does. And then they release products based upon that, right?
But aren't they all concept cars? Like, they're not going to be put into production, right?
I mean, yeah, they are. The Lamborghini might not have been, but I do find it very interesting that these brands, they've had those designs in their back pockets. And as soon as one brand goes, look what we've got, they will go, oh yeah, me too.
Mm.
So it's great. I think in terms of innovation, I think we're at this really stagnant point in technology right now. Every phone looks the same. Every computer is just a small iteration up from the last one from last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And now all of a sudden,
boom.
Cars, boom. It's amazing.
Yeah.
So I think it's good. I think it's going to stimulate the market in a good way.
Yeah, pushing out the boundaries.
Absolutely.
It's very exciting. In other news, I just found out that Victoria Beckham is losing money. The Beckhams as a combined brand have lost money for the first time last year.
How much?
They were wildly successful like 4 years ago. And last year they had a combined loss of £1.5 million.
I mean, when you lose £1.5 million, like, is that like actual money coming out of your bank account, or is that you just buying stuff stupidly? Like,
they're companies, babe. They're companies. Not them personally, but they have several companies, right? And the one that's actually dragging the group of companies down is Victoria Beckham's label.
I mean, high fashion doesn't make that much money anyway.
No, that's the problem. High fashion is not a profitable business, and she sells dresses that are $2,000. Her handbags are $1,000. And her label launched 10 years ago and has never been profitable and has since lost £34.7 million.
I mean, is that her money or does she have investors?
She has investors as well.
They must be so mad.
Yeah, they're not thrilled. But so what's been happening is David, obviously, has a fair bit of money as well.
Are we on first name terms, yeah?
Just yeah, Davo.
Davo.
They're worth, as a couple, over $300 million.
Okay.
So he's been able to kind of bail her out with her label over and over again. But I don't understand why she's still going with it.
It must be a pride thing.
Yeah.
It must be. Like, if you are Victoria Beckham, you don't want to admit defeat.
Yeah, I guess.
But I think, you know, a smart businessman realizes when it's time to turn it off.
Well, she just launched a makeup line.
Well, that might claw it all back, to be honest.
Yeah, that will probably be profitable.
Mm. But I must admit, like, the Victoria Beckham line isn't alone there. A lot of high fashion brands are losing so much money.
Yeah.
And when you look at the parent company that owns them, usually, this is crazy, but usually those parent companies are actually alcohol brands that are, they're making all profit over this side. Mm. And the alcohol brand is almost like propping up the high-end clothing brand as well.
It's so interesting. I never knew that. When I grew up, I really thought these really high-end brands were just loaded with profits.
Well,
and
I think
money.
They used to be. I think just trends have changed. Fast fashion is not only destroying the planet, it's also destroying business, because people want something they can pay $30 for, wear it to the club, and then they don't care if it doesn't look good after the first wash. They just bin it.
Yeah.
Whereas if you bought a $2,000 skirt from a top-end brand, you probably don't want to wear that too regularly because, you know, people will go, oh, you wore that last week.
Well, also just the demand is not there. Like, a very small fraction of, you know, people will afford a $2,000 dress.
Yeah.
So it's the old saying, sell to the masses. What is it? Cater to the masses and live
with,
the classes.
Cater to the classes, live with the masses.
Yeah.
So. And it's true. It absolutely is true. There's this very fine line, which I think a lot of brands struggle to navigate.
Yeah.
So something else that really blew my mind this week was the Joe Rogan podcast with Chris Kresser.
It's a long podcast.
Yeah,
it's
it was three hours.
Yeah,
that's right. And Chris Kresser used to be a vegan. Very, very knowledgeable on nutrition. In fact, I think he is like a qualified nutritionalist.
Yeah, absolutely. He's written a number of books and things like that as well.
And the kind of the general consensus was that maybe being vegan is not that good for your body. You may notice some the comparisons that he was drawing, or that people draw when they switch from a meat-eating diet to a vegan diet or a vegetarian diet, is kind of like the typical American meat diet, which is a lot of fast food.
Yeah.
And then you switch over to a vegetarian diet, of course you're going to see real gains and benefits in your body, in the way you think, in the way you feel, because you've stopped having McDonald's, you've stopped having fast food, and you've gone straight to a vegetarian diet.
Mm.
But what he's been studying over the last few years is how if you do obliterate meat from your diet entirely, you lose a lot of goodness over time.
Yeah, that's right. I think you can really only draw a comparison like that if you're comparing a week-long diet in someone's life of whole foods that include animal products.
Yes.
And then a week-long diet of someone's life of whole foods that are just vegetables.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they really took people who ate, you know, I don't know, fried chicken and waffles and like, you know, kind of junky food, and then went, hey, have this vegan diet, and showed these incredible results after 1 week.
But they did the same in that documentary, What the Health.
Yeah.
I find these documentaries that are associated with a website or a subscription program or a product, obviously they're going to have a bias of some sort.
Of course.
It's called opinion-based bias. We all have it. If you ask me an opinion on something, whether I know the facts or not, I'm going to lean one way or the other. That's just
human.
Well,
the producer of Game Changers, what are they selling?
He sells a vegan vegan protein powder.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So you can see it's in his interest to really kind of scare you away from meat.
Yeah.
But
doesn't
also
look
tell
like
you,
independent study.
And I think the one thing that Chris Kresser mentioned about the Game Changers was a lot of the studies in the documentary were not peer-reviewed. Now, peer-reviewed means that you do a test and then you ask a load of other scientists to do the same test to make sure that your test wasn't an anomaly.
And if it can't be replicated,
it isn't science.
Exactly.
Yeah, and
I
don't think you did that.
No, exactly. And that's what I mean by saying, you know, you can't really compare a bunch of people who've had a terrible diet and everything was processed foods to then suddenly go, oh, look, veganism will change everyone's body composition and make everyone perform way better, when there isn't really something comparable.
No, that's right.
But do you know what I just found out?
What?
They just said a couple of hours ago that Chris Kresser is going back on Joe Rogan next week.
Yeah.
With the producer of Game Changers, James Wilkes.
No,
and they're going
way
to debate it out. So I'm super interested in that episode to hear, because they're both quite educated. They're both, I believe, nutritionists.
Well, James Wilkes was that, he's the athlete. He's the martial artist. He's a really incredible fighter.
Yeah, they know a lot about nutrition.
Yeah, but he did some mad damage to his knees, I believe.
Mm.
And he claims that the vegan diet is what fixed him.
Right.
They were mentioning that they dug up some remains of gladiators.
Yeah.
And they managed to do a test on the bones. And they looked at the bone structure and they realised, oh, wow, these guys mainly ate vegetables.
Mm.
But actually, that was to fatten them up. They weren't elite athletes.
They were slaves.
No, they were.
No, they were slaves.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, they were slaves.
But weren't they just meant to be fat so they could fight longer and harder?
Yeah, but Chris Kresser said in the podcast, these guys aren't elite athletes with access to the best diets on the planet. They were slaves who were forced to fight to the death for entertainment.
Yeah.
So they just ate scraps.
Yeah, so we shouldn't be looking to that as like the goal.
No, it's not the pinnacle of nutrition.
Gladiators didn't look like they did in that movie 300 then.
No.
Right, good to know.
So we need to block out 3 hours next week to listen to that podcast.
I think all the gladiators look like the picture that Donald Trump tweeted this week of himself without his top on.
That is the funniest.
Did you see
picture?
That?
Yes.
If you haven't seen
it. You know that's Rocky Balboa's body?
So that's Sylvester Stallone?
I believe so.
I can never say it. Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
Gotta say it slow.
With your nose all blocked.
So what? explain this picture because it's traumatizing.
So Donald Trump, he tweeted this himself.
I know.
He posted this and it's a photo of his head on Rocky Balboa's body. So looking
hench. Why did he post that?
I have no idea. It went pretty viral. People have retweeted it like crazy. People are comparing him to Obama because Obama is actually quite fit. And there's like all these retweets of a picture of Obama topless at the beach going, Obama didn't need Photoshop.
Oh no, really? Trump at this point, I think he's just trolling.
I cannot believe this is the president.
So I just can't work it out, right? Because what he says and does on Twitter, I feel he's doing to annoy people. I don't believe any logical person can be tweeting what he tweets without a smirk on his face. I'm pretty certain he hits tweet and then sits back and giggles a bit.
I think so too. He's just like having fun with it now, isn't he? Then I also saw that Sia, the singer, was running around Walmart the other day and she paid for everyone's Thanksgiving groceries. She was like walking around just giving everyone her credit card and just paying for everyone's groceries in there. And she didn't tell anyone who she was. Nobody recognized her.
Oh, please.
She said her name was Cece. Oh, and she said she just won the lottery. She's like, I just won the lottery, so I just want to pay for everyone's Thanksgiving stuff. I watched a little video on it and she was just paying for everyone.
I'm so skeptical about stuff like that. Like, I get it. That's a nice gesture.
Yeah.
I can't help but thinking, who put that video out?
Oh, no. Some random person at the grocery store.
Oh yeah, I get.
Not Sia.
No, I get that, but I wouldn't be surprised if Sia's PR person then made that video
you're
go viral.
So skeptical, babe.
If you're gonna be nice,
some kind acts are just kind acts. She didn't film it. She didn't tell anyone her name. Nobody recognized her without her crazy
please.
Wig on,
babe. She's one of the most.
Except then everyone recognized her and it's gone viral. What?
And I bet you she has an album coming out in December.
No, some kind acts are just kind acts.
No, I get that. I get that. I'm in this world, 2020, I'm a skeptic.
You are.
I just believe that people who are that recognizable. Sia is very recognizable, yeah.
No, because she always covers her face.
Everyone knows what Sia looks
like. No, if you saw her in this video and she was just a random lady saying she just won the lottery, I don't think you would go, oh, this is Sia.
Okay.
She was not looking like glam.
Let me ask you this. You've been to Walmart, right?
Yes.
Do you really believe that unless it was a PR stunt, Sia would have ever actually gone to Walmart?
Yeah.
Why?
Why would she not go to Walmart?
Because she's Sia.
She got to do shopping.
No, she doesn't. She's got people for that.
She's not like Mariah Carey, who's like sitting on her fluffy couch,
I think,
sending out her minions to go grocery shopping.
I'm pretty certain. I don't know, but I'm pretty certain once you've had like multiple number one selling albums, you don't go to Walmart anymore on your own. Like you online shop at least.
Okay, well, it's a nice deed and I want to amplify nice deeds, even if we have a skeptic in the house over here.
Google, when is Sia's next album coming out? I don't know if this is happening or not. This is the top thing in Google that I just Googled. And would you like to read the title? Read it out loud.
Sia promises new album feature-length musical in 2019.
We've only got one more month for 2019. So that's the skeptic in me. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. She may have already released it. I don't know. But yeah, that's just me. Anyway, moving on.
All right, guys. Now it's time for our favorite segment of the podcast. Talk to me in my ears.
Oh, you finally accepted that's what we're calling this.
Yeah, I am.
I'm glad.
I'm here for it.
We've actually had people post on Instagram saying that they love Talk to Me in My Ears as a title.
They love it.
Yeah, I reckon if I ever get a talk show on like a real TV channel, I'm going to call it Talk to Me in My Ears.
It's just everything has to be super like simple. All the titles of everything are just like completely simplified.
I like to keep it, easy. Okay, the first one is from Ella. Guys, if you want to leave us a voicemail, make sure you click the link in the description of this video. It takes you over to anchor.fm link and you can actually upload a voice message straight through your phone and we play it back here on the podcast next week. It's super cool. This one is from Ella. And the title of this is all I've seen so far. It says that she is a Latvian fan.
Oh, get out. Now, our number one country.
We have been number one in Latvia for a while now, guys. Which is a big deal, right? I've heard Latvia has 45 people who have the internet. So this is a big deal.
Oh, that is so rude. People think that of Australia too, you know.
I actually don't know. I think Latvia is a beautiful country and I think it's probably far more advanced than Australia. So I'm only joking. Don't hate me on this. And please don't stop subscribing in Latvia because you're doing...
We need you, Latvia.
We need you a lot.
Hi. So my name is Ella and I'm actually a Kiwi living in Latvia. And obviously I had to jump on here and record a message for you guys, seeing that you just reached number one in Latvia with your podcast. That is amazing. Congratulations. And that's actually already it. That's all. I just kind of felt like how cool was it that I'm listening to your podcast every single time and I live in Latvia. I feel like I contributed.
You did.
You definitely did.
Hope you're having an amazing time and I love your podcast so much. I'm just having my coffee in the morning and listening to your podcast because obviously time difference and everything. And yeah, hope you're having a great time and check out Latvia.
Oh, thank you so much, Ella. You definitely are contributing. I just Googled the population of Latvia and
it's 8.
It's what? No, it's 1.92 million.
Oh, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll take that.
Yeah, right?
That's cool.
So mostly thanks to Ella.
Yeah.
We need to go and visit.
I'm down for that. I've looked it up on Google Maps. It looks actually beautiful.
That's what we should do. Okay, over the next few months, whatever our top countries are on podcasts, we'll do it and we'll film it on YouTube and do a little tour.
This is going to get so expensive.
We'll do a little podcast tour and what? It'll be our YouTube channel.
What if we were number one in a different country every week?
Perfect.
This is why Pia has no grasp of money. This is why I look after the credit cards.
Just making memories, baby.
She didn't have a question. She was just being cool, right?
Yeah, I don't know. There was no question. Okay. I think her question was, am I the one making you guys number one in Latvia?
The answer is yes.
Yes. Thanks, Ella.
We are also doing well in other countries, by the way. We don't just have like 8 listeners in Latvia. We've got 7 in Thailand as well. let's get on to the next question. This one is from Bridget.
Hey guys, I am coming at you all the way from West Africa.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm so crazy. Please don't kick me off the podcast. But I have a few questions to ask. And number one is, who is Christina to you? Because I feel like she's really a cute person. Second question is, I really, really love YouTube. And I really see myself doing it for a long time. But I'm in college. So how do I start pursuing my dreams and balance my time in college? And I have a few things to say as well. And the thing is, upload on time. You guys don't upload on time and it gets me really frustrated.
Sorry.
And also another thing is I have a big crush on Kane.
Oh.
So Pia, what's your man? That's all I have to say. I love you. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, you better watch out.
What's your man?
The Pika crew are coming for me. Well, thank you very much.
I need to upload that photo of you in your socks and undies earlier.
No, definitely not.
Well, thanks so much for voicemailing in. So Christina to us, she's been with us for about 5 years now.
Yes.
She came to us as an intern. She was just looking for like an internship position at Slinky. And she now actually manages Slinky for us. So she's kind of the girl that we have hands on here that works with us directly. And she, you know, runs the day-to-day operations while Kane and I, you know, vlog or travel and, you know, do other things like
she
that.
She also, I got it, she is more than that because she often helps us. When we do photo shoots, when we do vlogs and stuff like that, she will often kind of take an hour or two and come and jump in to that project and work with us there.
Yeah.
She's just a really, really helpful person and someone that we both trust implicitly, and that has made it very easy to work on her with a number of projects that we do.
Guess what? Today is her birthday. So,
I wondered why she wasn't here.
She got the day off.
Actually, that's a pretty interesting point that you mentioned as well in the question about our consistency and how it's annoying. And yes, it's annoying for us too. But here's an interesting thing. I know that we joke about Pia being away a couple of weeks ago, and that's why we missed a few videos. We actually had recorded videos for every day that we're supposed to upload. So Monday to Thursday, we have always got videos ready to go. Except if we're not 100% happy with them, we're not uploading them.
Mm.
And that's the difficulty, because I don't want to upload stuff that I then cringe at and look back on a month later and go, oh, I wish I didn't upload that.
Yeah.
So, you know, yes, it is frustrating for you guys to kind of not get the consistency. It's more frustrating for me to film an entire vlog, edit it, play it back to Pia, and then we both agree that we don't really like it and we just bin it.
While we're on the topic of uploading onto YouTube, Kane and I just uploaded our forfeit video on YouTube.
Yeah, because Pia decided to just abandon us a couple of weeks ago and not do a podcast.
Kane punished me by getting all of the sources from Hot Ones, the show Hot Ones on YouTube, which is like 10 different insanely spicy sauces.
Even
like,
the first one was hot.
Hotter than anything you've ever tasted in your entire life. I nearly passed out.
Yeah, it was funny actually.
So if you want to watch that debacle, head over to YouTube because that's live now and I'm never ever missing a podcast again. No.
All right, the one final thing that we have to talk about in the podcast today is my alien encounter. I've tried to avoid this because I feel that people are going to think I'm stupid.
No, they're just going to think you're a Looney Tune.
Let me cut the music. I'm not a Looney Tune, but I have seen an alien spaceship. And I think that when I tell people this story, everyone looks at me funny. So I don't want to tell it on the podcast.
Kane has told me this story without change or without fail for the last 10 years that I've known him.
Yep.
This hasn't been further embellished or anything like that. So I'm still skeptical.
Why?
But tell us your story.
So you don't believe me after 10 years. We've married a year on 2 days' time.
I mean,
time.
I do believe you actually, because I do think that there are probably aliens out there.
Okay, so the thing is, firstly, I'm not sure because I feel like we should have seen more of them by now. We're almost in 2020.
Yeah.
I feel like if I've seen an alien and then I look on Google and everyone else that says they've seen an alien is a complete nut job. It puts me in a bad camp.
That's why I don't want you to go public with this story.
Well, shall I not say it then?
I mean, yeah, say it. Kane's seen an alien.
I haven't seen an alien. I've seen an alien spaceship.
He's had an alien probe.
No, babe, I haven't been probed. So look, long story short, I used to work in London and my job would start at 6 a.m. So I had to get up around about 3:30 because I would drive and pick up my coworker. And then we would both drive our cars in to the city together.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'd start work at around about 5:30 and then get ready for 6, right?
Right.
Now, I was driving, and where I used to live in England was out in the country, and I would have to drive through some quite quiet country lanes with no lights, right? So it was just me, my car, and nothing else.
And E.T.
Babe, come on. So I was driving one day. And so I'm not drunk. Everyone's like, oh, were you drunk? Were you this, were you that? No, I was driving to work at 4 a.m. in the morning, right? And I had a car at the time that was a convertible. So I would be driving along. And at that point, I felt that something was above me. So I look up. And because there's no roof on my car, if I look up normally, I'm looking up at the stars.
Yeah.
But when I looked up, I saw a reflection of myself and my car looking back at me.
That is creepy.
At which point I realized I was looking at the reflection of what was kind of an unidentified flying object.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Very odd. So I immediately then picked up the phone. I freaked out. This thing, literally, I'm looking at it and it just zooms off. Like literally no noise, no rocket boosters, no nothing. It just flies off in silence, right?
Complete silence.
I mean, as quiet as my Tesla. So like, there was probably something.
So it was electric.
I don't know. But it definitely, it wasn't like, it was like a just sure. A bird flying through the wind. So I immediately called my dad and I told him what happened. I was like, I'm freaked out. Like, what is happening?
Mm.
He immediately tells me, oh no, it's probably just military testing. Ignore it. And like literally shut me down and said, ignore it.
Wow.
Which I thought was odd, but okay, whatever. So I went around to my mate's house and knocked on his door, woke him up, and he got in his car and drove into London with me, right? His roof was down as well.
Mm.
He had a faster car. He was in front of me, kind of what we do every day. Then I saw the spaceship again.
What?
This time it was above his car, about 100 meters ahead of me. And it shone this beam of light into his cockpit, like one of those tractor beam things that you see in the movies, right? I picked up the phone, I called him, I was like, mate, look up. He goes, I know, what the hell is happening? What is going on? He was freaking out as well. And then as quickly as it arrived, it just flew off. It was gone. This is in London, right? This is in the-
So he didn't get sucked up into it.
Babe, I feel like you're mocking me.
Sorry.
And that was it. So we then got to work. He was so freaked out. For the first hour or two, he just lay on the floor in the office. Didn't do any work, just freaked out. Right? This was legitimate.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of the last we ever spoke about it. But
what, you never spoke about it?
Well, I mean, not like I didn't make a big banner and go, I saw an alien. But it was like, it was shut down. The conversation was shut down by everyone I spoke to. Everyone laughs at you and mocks you.
Yeah, no one believes you.
No one believes you. Now, I don't know whether I saw an alien from Venus or whether it was actually a military testing craft. It might have been an early drone that, you know, I didn't know what I don't know what drone looks like, a proper military drone. It could have been that. They could have been testing it. I have no idea.
Mm.
But I definitely saw something crazy fly above my head in absolute silence and drift off. And then I saw the same thing again above his car and he saw it too.
Mm.
So there's two of us. It's not like, hey, let's make up this conspiracy theory that we saw an alien. Like, we actually saw it driving to work
together.
And we're freaking out.
Yeah, I believe you.
So I don't know what it was.
I know I like take the piss a little bit, but I believe you.
So I don't know what it was. I didn't see any like aliens. No one probed me. No probing jokes. But that was it. That was my situation. And it was still, to this day, it's very, very deeply etched in my memory. I know exactly where I was on what street.
I would be surprised if there wasn't extraterrestrial life in another galaxy somewhere.
I think it would be very arrogant of humanity to think that we are the smartest people on the planet, in the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
if you look at the size of the universe, the probability that we're the only planet that has life on it is so slim.
Yes.
That I wouldn't find it crazy to think.
Well, I always, when I think about, you know, life on other planets, I always think to myself, if anything came from a different planet and just observed Earth for half an hour, like for, you know, from the sky, you'd look down and you go, these people, they're still so early on in their civilization.
Oh,
they can't stop fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm not going to go down and say hi. These guys are nuts.
Yeah.
You know, like, the ones over there that are brown are fighting with the ones over there that are white.
Yeah.
Why?
We look so primitive.
We look like absolute idiots from a top-down level.
Yeah.
We're not ready to meet aliens yet.
Yeah.
From another planet. So I get it.
If they're, you know, an advanced civilization or whatnot, I'm not sure.
I think there must be.
I feel like there are.
There must be.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, let us know. Time is up, and that's where we're going to end today's episode of Wine Time. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure you're subscribed and have hit that 5-star rating on this episode. Every little bit helps, so we really appreciate that. If you fancy keeping up with our antics outside of this podcast, you can always follow us on Instagram. The links are in this description, or you can check out our YouTube channel where we post at least 2 videos a week. If you'd like to check out our website, which has heaps of posts, as well as all our photo and video presets, head over to caneandpia.com. That's www.caneandpia.com. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.